My name is John Cooper, and this is my attempt to record my recollections and some observations over my 40-year career, which ended on the 31st of December 2009. When I was asked to do this, I thought, well, why would I want to do it? And I thought, well, the first thing is that if I don't do it soon, I'll forget everything. And the second thing is that looking back, I don't think people today have anything like the opportunities that I had to develop my career in the way I did. Essentially going from weighing tea and sugar in the stores at Bolton to supporting ministers in Westminster Hall debates or processing requisitions at Bury and ending up running an arm's length body of the Department of Health. I stress this will be recollections as best I can and observations. It's not a chronological history. But my personal experience of working in the NHS procurement and supply profession in a variety of organisational structures, some good and some not so good. Inevitably, some of what I say will be opinion, and aspects of which might be controversial to some people. But I do have opinions, for example, on the European procurement law and how that's developed, and the detrimental effects I believe it's had on public procurement generally, but also the NHS in particular. I've got issues around the civil service, NHS ways of working, and so on. But anyway, it's all done in the right spirit, and I hope you enjoy it. The first thing I'd say on the record is that it's all about people. I work with some most excellent people over my 40 years. Some have given me outstanding memories, and I've had a tremendous amount of support from some very, very skillful professional people. I won't mention nearly anything like all of them. One or two names will crop up, some of which you'll know, some of which you won't know. But the first thing that, before I get into all this, is that the profession, the field-based profession, in my view, has done a fabulous, fabulous job against overwhelming odds in dealing with the latest problems around COVID. Of course, and this might be controversial, the seeds of the PPE problem in particular could be entirely predicted, and probably the seeds were sown for this debacle probably around 1999, if not just before. So it all began in 1970. About June of that year, I applied for what was then called an administrative trainee post at Bolton and District Hospital Management Committee. It was a 3-year programme, if you were successful, and involved 6-month postings in various departments, finance department, salaries and wages department, hospital admin, including psychiatric hospital admin, medical records, and of course, supplies and stores. The interview process itself for a 17-year-old lad was quite amazing. The panel I faced, and bear in mind this was my first ever interview for any job, I've been working in a garden centre, and when I got called for the interview, and I ended up facing the group secretary, that who will be known now as the chief executive, the treasurer, director of finance, the establishment officer, HR director, hospital secretaries from two hospitals. I don't think you'd ever see anything like it today, but for a 17-year-old straight from school, but there we are. And I was pitched in, and the various postings that you got involved all sorts of work. And I'll never forget being put in charge of the bed bureau and medical emergency, almost at the time I'd started, really. And you're actually taking phone calls from GPs who had got patient details there, which you had to write down in detail. And then you had to take those details to the on-call doctors and try and persuade them, cajole them sometimes, to take that patient into hospital. And then on some occasions, you had to await the patient's arrival and then complete the medical record formalities before they were dispatched off by porters. Not quite a responsibility for a 17-year-old, I thought. So about halfway through my 3-year admin training scheme, I pitched up at the supplies and stores department. The supplies officer at Bolton at the time was James Andrews, Jim Andrews, a phenomenal figure and one that would figure largely through my developing career. The thing to say about Jim was he made it fun to be at work, and that really was something to treasure. I love the stores. I love the aspects of ward deliveries, ward rounds, making up the ward boxes. You know, in those days, tea came in crates and sugar came in sacks, and you weighed them out. And it was a fantastic experience working there. Great camaraderie amongst the people, and of course, it gave me a taste and a pointer for where I wanted to develop my career. While on placement at that Bolton Supplies Department, along came a guy called Tony Lister, who was a new appointee in the supplies department, as a supplies lead at Bury Hospital Management Committee. And he was joining the NHS for the first time, and he'd come from the private sector. I think Helena Rubinstein was his last employer. Of course, he had no experience of hospital work, but we didn't have much experience of commercial work either. I mean, let's face it, discharging standing orders with 3 quotes and tenders was about as much commercial work as was ever done. So Tony came to Bolton to get a feel for working in the NHS, and we struck up a relationship, and he asked me, would I go and join him at Bury in a post that was vacant? And after giving it some thought, I said yes. And it was a great move for me. I became known as the medical and surgical officer. And I suppose it was my introduction to what you would call specialism in the medical and surgical field. An early adopter of commodity management, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, I love the job. The idea was that you receive the requisitions on a daily basis, and you match them to the existing contract structure, if you possibly could. HSPGs, that was the national contract of its day. Regional contracts, area contracts as we had then, or individual hospital contracts. You match the requisitions up, you place the order. You used to write the orders out by hand in those days. Typing came along much later in my time. We also did things like organise instrument repairs and so on. And it was a fabulous opportunity to get in and about, down to theatre, orthopaedic theatres, general theatres, get to know the clinical staff and the nursing staff. And it was a fabulous introduction to a proper purchasing job at a hospital level. I ended up spending 5 very happy years at Bury, including the 1974 reorganisation that brought about general management, and a group of young lads, young Turks as we call them, came into Bury. It was a very exciting time. And the supplies department at Bury was very much part of the running of the overall organisation, much closer than many supplies departments will be today. We ran transport, we ran laundry services, we ran a printing department. We had our own contracting responsibilities, regional contracting responsibilities, mostly for foodstuffs. And that's where we cut our teeth on things like the sausage and pies contract. And what a great day that was when you get the catering manager to cook up the sausages, and you had the various catering managers come to visit, and they make the selections, and it was a wonderful way of going about business. And of course, I developed capital equipping there, and I really enjoy capital equipping, and we did some great schemes. The thing was, in those days, the supplies manager was what it said on the tin. you made sure that supplies were available for the hospital to function. That was the be-all and end-all. You didn't want anything running out. You certainly didn't want patients being unable to be treated because there weren't sufficient products there. That was the cardinal sin. Commercial work, price, cost came much later in my career than this. I mean, one example of what I'm talking about in terms of serving the end customer. I remember one Friday, there was a particular orthopaedic case, and there was the particular piece of equipment that was needed was down in Watford, and needed to be back up by Monday morning. And so off sets Tony Lister, takes his wife down, drive all the way to Watford, pick the thing up, and bring it back. I'm not sure about whether you'd get that that sort of dedication today. So after 5 years at Bury, in 1978, I moved on to Oldham, and to my first senior manager job. I was deputy to a guy called John Bodle, who ran the area supplies department, which also involved Stockport. So essentially, for much of the time, I was a supplies manager for Oldham. And that proved to be, of course, Oldham, a good training ground for numerous people. I can Marcus Brindle, Ian Shepherd, John Berrington, all followed me into that role. It was at that time as well that I became CIPS qualified. Did that at Salford. And of course, every supplies department I've worked in is slightly different. The one at Oldham, the thing that I remember was that the supplies manager actually held certain budgets for the whole of the district health authority. And so you were receiving the plaintiff requests for various spend categories. You had to prioritise these, and you had to be the judge and jury on who got what. From Bury, from Oldham, it was on to North Manchester. And I arrived just in time for the winter of discontent. And what a time that was. I followed Roger Perrell, who'd gone across to Leeds to open and work with their area stores at that time. That was quite a development and quite an important move for Roger. So I filled in for him. And of course, we went straight into the difficulties around the winter of discontent. And it must have been months before I ever did any proper supplies work, as one would be in the kitchens, plating up meals, or trying to persuade the picket line to allow certain supplies to come through. And I've never forgotten that time, because I never thought I would see the day, and I hope I never see it again, when a trade union committee was virtually deciding not only what would come into the hospital in terms of products and supplies, but also who got treated. I hope never to see the like of it again. The emphasis at North Manchester, of course, was still serving the front line, first and foremost. But commercial work was beginning to rear its head, and we were experimenting with various ways of doing things. And I can recall vividly submitting my first savings report to the chief executive in about 1980. I learned so much at North Manchester. I learned that personality was very important in terms of the supplies role. You had to get to know the influencers, not only in the executive corridor, but operationally and clinically. Communication was absolutely vital with these people, and certainly there was no hiding behind systems or process. I quickly realised that Manchester is different, and I believe it still is different, of course. It wasn't long before I got a wider role within the Manchester Area Health Authority, involving Central and South, and started interacting with the then North West Regional Supplies Department and the supplies managers hierarchy. We're getting involved with such things as the embryonic stock control system that we had in the North West. It was about this time as well that I started taking an interest in the Supplies Managers Association, Things started to move in that in that regional direction for me. And it was at that time that I got to know Duncan Eaton for the first time. Duncan was at Tameside at that point in time. And of course, Duncan went off to develop his career elsewhere, but we would renew acquaintances numerous times after that.